Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, all of our campuses, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms, and let's give our moms one huge round of applause at all of our campuses. Love you, Mom. So let me welcome in all of our campuses, 288 campus, welcome, Friendswood campus, Alvin campus, Webster campus, Pearland campus, online campus, and everybody up north at the Webo Bible Church in Webo, Montana. Just so you know, next week we're going to begin a new series of lessons that I'm calling Dealing with Difficult People. Today's about moms. The two are unrelated, okay? Today... This is a Mother's Day sermon today. Next week, we get into the difficult people. Mom is not one of those people, all right? So that begins next week. Can't wait for that. Last week, we concluded our series from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which we called Until the Day. If you were with us for that series, then you know that Timothy played a major role, a key role in the startup of that church in Thessalonica, even though he was quite young. They speculate that he was in his late teens or early 20s during that time period, but he was a trusted co-worker of the Apostle Paul. They had, if you were with us, you already kind of know this, but they were in Thessalonica for about 3 weeks when an angry mob showed up and threatened their lives, and they got chased out of town. But then not long after that, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy back into that persecution hot zone to check on this new church and these new Christians just to see how they were doing. Timothy, able to fly under the radar a little bit more than the Apostle Paul, or maybe he was just crazy brave, perhaps. Paul says this is the reason that they sent him back, 1 Thessalonians 3. We sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in the faith, in your faith, that no one be moved by these persecutions, these afflictions, these things that are happening, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. These hard times are going to come. So Timothy was obviously strong in the faith. And I say that because he went and he strengthened the faith of the people in Thessalonica, and he encouraged them. So he was strong. And how do I know he was strong? Because you cannot give something you do not have, correct? You cannot give what you do not have. So he had a very strong faith. In other verses in the New Testament, we see that Paul would send Timothy to brand new churches to select and to train up the leadership of those local churches, which is wild, again, because this is a younger guy. So where did this young guy get his strength and his faith and his character? Where did that come from? Well, the answer in church is always God. Okay, God, that's true, and the answer is God here as well. But let me ask the question more precisely by asking it this way. What human being did God use in making this young man, Timothy, into a strong, brave, committed man, a devout follower of Jesus Christ? And maybe you're asking the question right now. I thought this was going to be a Mother's Day sermon, and we're talking about Timothy. So why are we talking about Timothy, and who was it? Who was it that helped him to have such a strong faith? His mama, Eunice, okay? Eunice, by the way, the Latin version of the Greek name Eunike, you right here, meaning good. See how it looks like Nike right there? Nike, meaning victory, so good victory, and she pulled it off, man. She was the one that we have to thank for a strong faith and a victorious life in Timothy. And that strong faith enabled him to do brave things and also to select and to train leaders so that think about this. Timothy selected, trained leaders so that the early church, I mean, this is the beginning of the church age right there. Timothy's at the forefront of this, training, selecting training leaders so that the church could be organized effectively so that it could stand the test of time up to the point Ta-da! Well, we're still having church today. And it all goes back to his mama. And it's crazy. And the influence that she had on his life. And so today, just using Eunice and Timothy as the example on this Mother's Day, I just want to encourage our New Hope moms. Okay, New Hope moms, whoever you are. And if you're brand new with us, I want you to be encouraged as well. And I want all of us to leave today having a good idea of what his expectations are for us on this day that we now call Mother's Day. The first thing that I want to show you, dear New Hope moms, is this. Your greatest gift to give is your love for God. Your greatest gift to give is your love for God. There's nothing more important than your faith being passed on and you passing that on. Nothing more important than your child learning about the Lord and coming to know Jesus and seeing him and your actions and hearing what he's done for you in your words. That's the most important thing. Now, here's what Paul said to Timothy in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy, which is called 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He said, I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. By the way, God has a whole lot of good ideas. Amen to that? He's full of good ideas. One of those ideas, I think, that is near the top of his list of good ideas is the idea of mom. Mom. Now, the reason we enter into this world the way that we do is because God had a plan for our lives, which included a 9-month ride in someone that we now call mom. And as a baby grows inside of their mother, they learn a lot about her. They learn her activity level. They hear her voice. In fact, even before we see our mom's face, we are comforted by her voice inside of the womb. That's a scientific fact. In the very first chapter of the Bible, God says this, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, do what? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. We're not going to explain that today in church, but I hope you know. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Y'all tracking with me here? You understand? Okay, don't make me explain it. All right, so how then... How then is the filling of the earth to take place? I'm going to ask you a question. It's a yes or no question. Is the being fruitful meaning that we should be fruitful and try to fill the earth with indiscriminate hookups on Tinder? Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay, thank you very much. If you answered yes or maybe, there was going to be a different sermon from this point forward, but we're all on board together, right? So God gives us what the correct answer is to that question that I just asked in the very next chapter of the Bible, where it says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So this holding fast is, according to other parts of the Bible, is a lifetime deal. That a husband and wife get together and that they stay together. So it has been God's plan since the very beginning of creation that when a baby is born, it's born into a family that includes a mom and a dad who are committed to each other until death. And statistics bear out the validity of God's plan to this day. And I say that because homes with both a mom and dad have a better chance of producing stable, secure kids. However, it's not always the case that a child is brought up in a home with both a mom and a dad. But good news today. God can still redeem the efforts of that single parent, which ends up being most of the time that single mom. God can still use that mom to give that child the opportunity to excel and to achieve everything that God has for them to achieve. And I know it's true because I've seen it with my own eyes, one, but also because it appears that Timothy's mom was pretty much raising him in the faith all by herself. In fact, here's all that we know about Timothy's dad. Okay, this is Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a what? believer, okay, and this is where the conversation shifts a little bit. She was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Nothing wrong with being Greek, if you're Greek. But the but is here because by omission, we're assuming now that it was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the only thing that we know about Timothy's dad so far from the Bible is that he was a Greek, more than likely not a believer. And what you're going to see from other verses about his mom is that she pretty much raised him on his own in the faith. Okay, so that's what we got. Here's what else we know about Timothy's dad from the Bible. That's all we know right there. We don't know anything else. That was on purpose, by the way. So was he an absentee dad? Was he gone? Was he dead? Did he leave Eunice and Timothy to fight on their own? We just don't know the answer to that. But what we do know from that one verse in 2 Timothy is that Timothy was raised in the faith by his mom, and she did a great job. Listen, I can give you 50 reasons why this is a problem. There's study after study to back that up. But if something does happen and a parent is no longer in the picture, I can also tell you that God can use a Christ-following parent in a way above and beyond what they can imagine, and God can give them the strength they need to steer their kids in the right direction. It's not easy. It's not easy, which is exactly why we need God's help. And if this looks like your situation right now, don't settle for this. Change it to this. Amen? And if you're a single parent, don't use being a single parent as an excuse. Don't use it to settle for less. Use it as a reason to get stronger in the Lord. And don't expect less from your kids. Expect more. And make it your highest goal, your highest priority, that your kids know Jesus. Make sure they know Jesus. You know, the mission of our church is what is it? What is it? What is it? I know what it is. Is everybody else? I heard a few people that know it. It is to know. Very good. If you're brand new with us, to know Christ and to make him known, that's the mission of our church. But I'm thinking today that it shouldn't just be the mission of our church. It should be the mission of every parent. Because the absolute best thing that could ever happen to our child is that they figure out that God is large and in charge, and that he loves them so much that he sent Jesus to rescue them, and that they could have a relationship with him. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Is it like a priority for our kids to grow up and get a good job and become a productive member of society? Yeah. Okay, that's good. More of that, all right? Should it be a big-time priority that they make, you know, all A's? Got to get all A's. All A's in school. Well, yeah, okay, some kids can get that done. Some cannot. Anybody else want to confess that? You fell a little lower than the all A's. I heard somebody say one time, I never got a B, you know, in school. I never got a B. And I was like, well, me either. And it's about right. I'm lying a little bit. But so we want them to get good grades? Yeah, sure. Give your best efforts. Do we want them to be the best at sports, like awesome at sports? Okay. Let's talk about that one for just a second. If you've been around sports, and I've been around sports my entire life, I've played ball most of my life, and I was talking to somebody a while back, played in leagues, basketball leagues, until I was 35, and then everything hurt too much. But I've been in sports for a long time, and some parents really take it seriously, like their kids. And if you've been around it recently, you know what I'm talking about. They're like over the top. And just let me give you a couple statistics here. There is a 0.02% chance, 0.02%, which is 1 in 5,000, 0.02% chance that your child will be a professional athlete. there's a 100% chance that your child is going to stand before God someday. So what should be most important in your house? Learning how to hit the ball or learning about Jesus? Am I preaching to myself today? Come on, man. Again, nothing wrong with sports. I love sports. But Jesus has to take higher priority in our lives with our children than sports do. And I would include in that, don't miss church for sports. Don't miss church. I mean, in our church, we have Thursday night services. We have 3 Sunday services. There's no excuse, really, to miss church for sports. Be in church. Have your kids in church. Show your kids by your action what's most important. Listen, we who know Jesus know there's more to life than sports, more to life than perfect grades, more to life than a job. And mom, you have the ability to show your child the love of God in such a powerful way. And I say that because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So God loved, and so he sacrificed. He gave his only begotten son for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So while we were still messed up, dirty, unclean, he loved us enough that he died for us. And moms, you've got this on lockdown. And I say that because I love my kids. I love my kids. We have 3 kids. I love them. But there was a day back in the day when the dirty diapers and the puke and everything else about did me in. Anybody else? Anybody else want to confess that today? And just so I don't feel bad. Okay, men's hands. I see some men's hands. But I'm telling you, you know, when the blowout happened, you know, in the car seat or whatever, it's like, oh man, really, really? Is this what we signed up for? Is this real life? And then, you know, this is the constant smell. And so we got one of those diaper genies. You remember the diaper genie? Anybody remember the diaper genie? They probably outlawed it because it didn't really work. If you don't know, it's just like a long piece, tube of plastic. You put a dirty diaper in, you stuff it down in there, and then you just turn the top like this, and it kind of, you know, does this. And so it's like the diaper is now like a sausage inside there. And then you just keep putting them in and putting them in, and it's like, ah, it does smell better in here. This is great. Until you're sent to the garbage can to take them out of there. And then it's like the sausage links of death, okay? I need to shut up here and just preach, but I'm going to tell you this woman right here on the front row, my wife, she never flinched. She would, no matter what the battle was, she would go into battle with a box of baby wipes and would conquer, okay? So I'm just saying, moms have this unique ability that as they interact and sacrifice for the kids, oftentimes moms putting their own needs last for the needs of their children, they have this unique ability to share God's love with them in a powerful way. And that's the most important thing that can happen to a kid, because if they get it, that God loves them like that, then everything else is going to be icing on the cake in their life, right? So Christ-following moms at New Hope, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for helping us to grow to become what God wants us to become, and for that we honor you today. Second thing. Your superpower is love for family. Your superpower is love for family. Now, about my wife again, our kids used to think that she had superpowers because she knew where everything was all the time. Anybody else have a mom like that? Like no matter what you were looking for, she knew where it was. They would yell down back in the day. They'd yell over the stair banister, "Mom, where's this?" And it would be some obscure item. And she would say, "It's in your room at the foot of your bed next to a box under the hat that you wore to Crazy Hat Day last year in a Ziploc bag wrapped in wax paper with a blue paper clip on it," or something like that. They'd be like, "How do you know that? How do you know everything like that?" Well, it's kind of like a superpower that she had back in the day. But the real superpower, I think, for moms comes because of their love. Because when moms love, they fear not. You know what I mean? When a mom loves a child, they're going to do whatever it takes for the well-being of that child. That's just that superpower that moms have. In fact, I've got a few illustrations. There's probably thousands out there. Here's just a few. This is Angel Fiorini. You can see her, maybe see her right there. She's got a camouflage jacket on and she's making muscles. She suffered horrific burns to her body while rescuing her three children from a house fire back in 2016. This is Stephanie Decker. She lost both her legs when an F4 strength tornado, 175 mile an hour winds, demolished her home. When the twister hit, she threw a blanket over her children. She laid down on top of them and held them. And as the house was being lifted off of its foundation, she looked up and saw the 20-foot steel I-beam at the top of the house falling toward her. Instead of jumping away and saving herself, she held on to her kids. The beam fell on her legs, crushed her legs, but held her in place as she held her kids. To this day, she says, I wouldn't change a thing. Fiona Simpson, driving down the road, storm hits, hail starts battering their car that she's in with her baby daughter, Clara. So the windows start to break out of the car, and she dives into the back seat, shields Clara's body with her own body, her body then covered, her upper body and her back covered with very deep bruises. Clara, none the worse for wear. You can see there was a big smile on her face. Mindy Tran. Mindy saw the car in which she had just loaded her two baby twins in, twin daughters. She saw that car begin to roll down the driveway to the busy street below. She knew she didn't have time to get the door open and hit the brakes, and so she ran and dived under the wheels of the car, stopping the car with her own body. A neighbor rushed when he heard the commotion to her aid. And then one more, Chelsea Lockhart. Chelsea Lockhart found superhuman strength when her son was attacked by a cougar in their backyard in Canada. This is Canada problems. But the cougar had her son's arm in his mouth, and she ran and jumped on top of the cougar, grabbing its upper and lower jaw to try to pry its mouth open. She said she could not get it to release her son. She's trying, prying, and prying. So she said she began to pray out loud, loudly. And she said, suddenly, when I started praying out loud, the cougar let go and then ran for the woods. Smart cougar. Because she was calling in reinforcements, right? She said it was mom instinct. And I truly believe there is such a thing, mom instinct. Again, there are probably thousands of illustrations like this, probably tens of thousands of illustrations like this, but they all come from the same place. The love that God puts into the heart of a mom the moment her children are born. Eunice had this for Timothy. And she was a strong woman of faith. And because of that, I'm going to say no fear in Eunice, raising her son for the glory of God. And because of her love for him and her love for God, she instilled in Timothy a love for God, a fearless kind of love for God that enabled Timothy to do amazing and brave things for the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Talking about his mom there. Listen, moms love, and that love overcomes any fear. Now, the statistics say that a woman alone has more fear than a man who is alone, but I don't know what the statistic is on this, but I'm going to say that a woman who has children to protect finds the superhuman strength to overcome any fear that she might have. And it's there because of love. And again, Timothy's mom had it, so she taught Timothy the scriptures. She told him about Jesus. She showed him what love does, and Timothy grew up and to a brave young man going into these dangerous situations with people threatening his life because of his love for Jesus Christ. Moms, your superpower is love. Love for God and love for your children and your family. Then number three, your greatest gift to receive is the love of God. That's the greatest gift for you to receive. Now, Eunice understood this and she received it. She was obviously a follower of Jesus Christ. She'd heard about what Jesus had done for her by giving his life on the cross and the salvation that would be given to anyone who put their faith in him. She heard that more than likely from her mom, Lois. That's the free gift of salvation we talk about every single week at this church. And just let me say this while I'm here. If you've never stepped into that free gift, like if you've never repented of your sins and turned away from those sins and turned to Jesus and put your faith in him, then this is the best day to do it right here. And I'm going to say for some of you, if you had a mom that prayed for you and prayed for you because you weren't like the best kid, and they've been praying for you your whole life, and maybe you just showed up today at church because you wanted to honor your mom who has been praying for you, but you still have not submitted your life to the Lord, I'm just saying, it's time. It's time. It's time. And you would do that. You would give your life to the Lord, not for your mom. You would do it for the Lord and for yourself and for your own salvation. But it sure would make mom happy. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 14 again. As for you, Timothy, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. That would be a reference to the Old Testament. I don't know if you know this, but every book in the Old Testament somehow points to Jesus. The sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy knew Jesus because his mom knew Jesus, and now Timothy is off, oftentimes in foreign countries, doing as we saw in our last series, being run out of town by angry mobs, being threatened, his life being threatened because of his faith, and then sneaking back into those places to strengthen the church family, which means he was now putting God before mom, just like mom had hoped for. Let me explain that. There was a time when Jesus was 12 years old. His parents went to, he and his family went to the feast in Jerusalem, and he got separated from his family. We don't quite get this because we don't travel the way that they traveled back in the day. Back in the day, they traveled big groups together. And so he was with friends and acquaintances and family members from the Nazareth area. They're supposed to travel together. Mary and Joseph didn't realize that Jesus was not with them, so they traveled for 2 days. I'm just saying, I'm not making fun of their parenting skills. I'm just saying they lost the Son of God. That's what I'm saying. And so they freak out, of course. They go back to Jerusalem as quickly as they can. We don't know exactly how many days they were separated. It does say in Luke chapter 2, around verse 40-something, that they looked all over Jerusalem for 3 days, that they looked for 3 days when they got there. I don't know if that means 3 days while they were on the road and 3 days in Jerusalem, but okay, it's been at least three days, okay, since they've seen their son. They go to the temple, they find him at the temple, he's answering questions of the religious leaders, the older guys, and he's amazing these older guys with his wisdom about the scriptures, about the prophecies, and his parents get there, they're not so amazed. And they confronted him, like, how could you do this to us? You've worried us for these days. What are you thinking? 12-year-old Jesus says this, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Had somebody on Thursday night after the service asked me the question, it sounded like Jesus was kind of being a little rude to his mom and dad, you know? They were just worried, and I said, it's Jesus, he never sins, so forget about it. verse 50, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, that's back home now, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Let me ask this question. How many of you, if your 12-year-old ran away for 3 days and worried you to death, would treasure those things in your heart? Nope. Son of God here, okay? He's worried his parents for a few days. Mary, though, is getting it. She's getting this bigger picture. And she treasures these things in her heart because she knows what's happening is happening because of the Lord and for the Lord. Here's a truth of life that godly moms know when it comes to their kids. God before mom makes a godly mom happy. One amen? One amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's hard for moms to amen that one. They're like, you're making me do that on Mother's Day. But it's true. God before mom makes a godly mom happy. Because if you put anybody else before God, you're in trouble. You put God before everybody else, including mom, your relationship with everybody else gets better. And that's why Eunice was supportive of Timothy and the ministry that he was doing on the front lines of the gospel, doing God's work. I got one more. I got one more thing I want to say. It's not really a point. It's more of a warning, I guess. If love for family is your superpower, then your kryptonite is comparison. Being a mom, especially nowadays, can feel like a competitive sport. And I say that because social media is the devil. Okay, I'm just going to say it. It makes us all feel like we are losing at life. And for moms, it's got to be especially hard because, you know, maybe you just had a little birthday party for your two-year-old or something, and you get online, somebody else has a two-year-old. They had like 17 real horses brought in, and everybody's riding around. They had an influencer land a helicopter in the front yard and do a dance for them and all that, and got put on TikTok and got a quadrillion views, and you're just over here trying not to burn the mac and cheese, you know, and... you see somebody's gender reveal party. You've seen those things. Those are out of control now. And they spent $100,000 and brought in, you know, an old rock and roll band and all that. And the airplanes flew over and whatever else. And submarines showed up. And you're like, what in the world? What in the world? And you're thinking back to your gender reveal. And yours happened like this. You're in the doctor. And the doctor was going... You want to know? Sure, it's a boy. Oh, okay. But when I'm going to tell you something, when we compare, we're asking for trouble. And when you compare, you either feel inferior or superior. Both are bad. A lot of times nowadays, with the people that have a lot of money and not a lot of sense, it feels like, you know, when you judge yourself against what they're doing for their kids, you feel inferior. Less than in your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So what's going on out here, the things you want to say, the things you do say, your actions or your reactions come from what's going on in your heart. And so if in your heart you're doubting that God loves you, or you're doubting that he can't help you to be the best mom that you can be, if you start doubting that you can give your children a good life, a good upbringing, then it's gonna start hurting your efforts. It's gonna, you know, you're either gonna act out or you're gonna drop out, you're gonna quit trying as much. Listen, you're not inferior. You're mom. And that is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
So one more thing, and then I'll let you go. After King David died, Solomon became the king. So Solomon is David's son. King David was married to Bathsheba. If you don't know the story, they got together under sinful circumstances. They had Solomon. King David is now dead. Bathsheba is alone. King Solomon, David's son, is now the king. Hopefully that all makes sense. So I just want you to see something. That King Solomon still treated his mom, who might have got together with his dad under bad circumstances, and who was older now, he still treated her with respect. 1 Kings chapter 2, on verse 19, it says this: when she came to visit, and the king rose to meet her and did what? He bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and had a seat brought in for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Listen to me. Even kings bow to their moms. Give their moms honor. And maybe you're thinking, well, my mom's not perfect. Well, really? Really? You mean she's human? Wow, I didn't know. I had no idea that your mom was human. Well, listen, some moms, and everybody needs to hear this today, when they had you, were still trying to figure life out, especially if you were first or second born. They didn't have a clue, a lot of them, right? Because I remember being young and trying to figure it out. I remember leaving the hospital and going, no one's coming with us? You know, you really trust us to do this? Seriously? But, you know, when you're young like that, and a lot of us can't get that, that we think that our parents were the age they are now back then. They were just starting off. They didn't know exactly what to do at all times. They were still trying to figure it out. You got to cut them some slack. Okay? And Proverbs 23, verse 22, do not despise your mother when she's old. Don't think back about all the things she did wrong or maybe messed up on. Don't despise her. What are we supposed to do? From the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So since this is Mother's Day weekend, perhaps the way that I should end this sermon today is by reminding us all, myself included, that as sons and daughters, whether we are young or old, it is our duty to honor our mothers, to speak words of honor, to show love, to forgive if necessary, to overlook an offense. The Bible says that's to our glory. And to hold in high regard our moms. And to not forget that mom, that God blessed us when he gave us our mom. Amen? Happy Mother's Day, guys. Love you so much.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.